It's time for the Law Matters program, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour, so I hope you can stay with us. Coming up in this program, we're heading down to Albany to talk to one of our staff at the Albany ALS office. Linda Medham joins us. She's a legal secretary down there. And we're going to find out a little bit more about Albany, what it's like living in Albany. I know that our program is broadcast to Albany these days, so that's really exciting as well. So we thought, what better chance than to touch base with our Albany office and find out a little bit more about our Great Southern. Also on the program today, Sarush Razi joins us. Sarush is a senior solicitor in the Aboriginal Legal Service Civil and Human Rights Unit. Really interesting fella. I'm sure you're going to enjoy hearing from him today. And we'll be talking about, I guess, some of the things that motivated him to work in the area of social justice. A big time happening this week and in coming weeks with regards to the National Congress of Australia's First Peoples, with elections coming up. Some key dates I'll be letting you know about this the hour as well. And also giving you some news from the Women's Law Centre. A new person is starting there in a few weeks' time, and we'll be giving you more information on that. And it's good to be able to let our community know about all of the services that are available for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So stay tuned for some info on that as well. Great to have your company on the Law Matters radio program, and good news that we're now broadcasting to our community down in Albany as well. So today we're going to head down to the Great Southern and meet Linda Medham, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. How you going, Linda?
Good. Hi, Jodie.
Oh, look, thank you so much for joining us on the program. For those who aren't aware, you're our legal secretary at the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA down in Albany. Thanks for your time. First time we've had an Albany staffer on the program.
Okay, good.
So it's good news. It's good news.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, what I need to know first is, it's beautiful weather in Perth. What's happening down there weather-wise?
Well, we don't have the same. It's wet and cold.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but we do have a lot of beautiful weather down here.
I know that...
Not today.
Look, I know that from talking with you at our last staff conference, you were just saying that, you know, Albany, people just get out no matter what the weather's doing and enjoy it. It's a beautiful place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's gorgeous. We've got lots of beaches, forests, rivers, everything. And people tend to think that it rains a lot in Albany. Not really a lot more than Perth, probably the same, but just ours is more spread out.
Excellent.
Yeah, you've got a beautiful day there.
Yes. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
So, look, Linda, tell us about your role with the Aboriginal Legal Service. How long have you been with us now?
2.5 years nearly. We've just told everybody I'm the legal secretary. I'm the receptionist. I support Mark, the solicitor, and Barbara, the court officer. I do all the office work. Generally, I'm the first point of contact for clients that come in, phone, or in the office. Yeah.
All right. Now, look, it's a big area down there. So how far are clients coming in to access services by the ALS down in Albany area?
We obviously have the Albany Court. We go to Mount Barker, Katanning and Noangarup. Mount Barker's about 50 kilometres away from Albany. Katanning about 170 and Noangarup 150. Mark goes out to these courts once a month, and I guess the catchment area is probably covers about a radius of 200 kilometres. So, yeah, it's a pretty big area, and it keeps us all pretty busy.
I imagine it does. I mean, one lawyer, one court officer and yourself, a very busy office, hey?
Yeah, it is. And I guess we're all multi-skilled, and we work together well, and we help each other out, and we work well with a lot of other agencies around the area.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what got you interested in seeking employment with the ALS, Linda?
I was working in the legal area anyway. I just love what they do. I've heard about the organisation, how good they are, Noongar people helping everyone. Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't regret it at all.
Excellent.
I love working here.
Now, Albany wasn't always home, was it?
No. I come from Perth.
Yep.
Have family in Perth. I've been in Albany for 13 years now. I like Perth. I like going back to see family, but I don't like the freeway.
Yes, no.
The traffic, and I don't really like the hot weather. So yeah. I like Albany because the climate's a bit milder. So, yeah, and yeah, I'm settled here. My children are friends, good job, beautiful place to live.
That's pretty ideal, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, tell us some more about Albany, because we're heard up in Broome as well as Halls Creek. And for people in Perth who haven't headed down to the Great Southern, or for people further north, what's Albany like?
Albany's beautiful. It's a coastal town. It's beaches everywhere. We're about 4.5 hours from Perth. We've got a population of about 32,000 people. We're the first established settlement in WA. One of our main industries is tourism, so there's heaps of stuff to do. It's a friendly town. It's, for me, it's not too big, not too small. We've got Denmark, and we've got Mount Barker, both opposite sides of Albany, about half an hour's drive, and they've both got beautiful wineries and forests, and we've got the Gap. Yeah, I don't know if people have heard of that. Just to me, I love all the beaches, the fishing, and
Excellent. All right. Now, Linda, where's the ALS office located down in Albany? Is it right in the main town area?
We're in the centre of town. Yep. If anyone knows Albany, we're at the top of Aberdeen Street. We're about a kilometre from the courthouse, so it's about a 10-minute walk. If anyone wants to know, we're actually at Shop 13, The Link, 24 St Emily Way, Albany.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're in a good spot. We're near bus stops, right in the middle of town, so easy for people to get to us.
And with only three of you in the office, I imagine it's a tight little unit there as well.
Yeah, it is. So we've all got our specific roles, obviously. Barbara and I both started about the same time, so we sort of bonded and got on, learnt stuff together. We've both been here nearly 2.5 years. Mark's been here for about 7 years. Obviously, as in such a small office, we have to work together, and we all pretty much help each other out and do what we can, and we love our new furniture.
Don't we all? I think the furniture's reached most of the new ALS offices, thanks to the grant from Lottery West, hey?
We're very happy here.
Excellent. So what's the best thing about your job, Linda?
Everything. I like working independently. I like the fact that we're in a small office, so we all help each other out, and we sort of... I guess we're all multi-skilled. I like that we all work hard to try and help our clients. I think we are making a difference. We get on well with all the other agencies, and we help each other. I guess that's a part of Albany as well. I just think, we're the ALS in Albany, and a lot of people rely on us. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, look, Linda, appreciate you having a yarn with us on our Law Matters program, and say hello to the rest of the staff there at our Albany office, won't you?
And I will.
And it's great to know that we're broadcasting down there as well now, and getting such a wide reach with this program, hey?
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Well, look.
Thanks, Jody.
Enjoy the rest of the week. Thanks, Linda.
You too.
Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Linda Medham in our Great Southern office down in Albany. She's a legal secretary there. I haven't been to Albany for years, but beautiful place, beautiful part of the world. So nice to have a chat with Linda on our program today. This is Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. We have some music and a couple of announcements coming up in a few moments. Then we'll get to meet Sarush Razi, Senior Solicitor with the Civil and Human Rights Unit in Perth. Hey, I had a call this week from the Women's Law Centre to let us know that in a few weeks' time they're going to be having a full-time solicitor on board who's providing free family law assistance to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women, including violence restraining orders and also doing some care and protection matters. So service providers, if you're listening in, you can make referrals to their centre for any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander women that need advice or assistance in those areas. If you want more information on that, I'll give you the number, 9272 8800, 9272 8800, and they're based in East Perth at 445 Hay Street in Perth. Leslie Kirkwood is one of their managing solicitors at the Women's Law Centre, and we said, yeah, more than happy to give that a plug, because really important for our community members to know all of the different services that are available in Perth or anywhere else. So, Women's Law Centre in Perth, providing free family law assistance to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women with their full-time solicitor working specifically with our mob starting at the first day of July. So do keep that in mind. This is Noongar Radio, the Law Matters program, and Jodie Hoffman with you this hour. And don't forget that the Law Matters program is repeated on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock, and regularly goes to air every second Wednesday between 11 and 12. So we're absolutely stoked to have the opportunity to have a yarn with you each fortnight here on Noongar Radio, and let you know not only about the services that we provide, but that other service providers provide as well, and some of the great stuff happening in the community and legal information that you need to know as well. Right now, for the first time on our program, we're going to have a yarn with Sarush Razi. Sarush is a senior solicitor with our Civil and Human Rights Unit in Perth. Welcome to the program.
G'day, good to be here.
It is your first time on the program, and you're not really a newbie to ALS anymore. How long have you been with us now?
Probably about 8-9 months by now. Yeah, since towards the end of last year.
So just before the staff conference.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a
great introduction into ALS.
Look, it's a great introduction. You've got to remember, we've got over 100 staff at 15 offices around WA.
Yeah.
And quite often you only get to email or talk to people on the phone, if that. So to actually have everyone in the same place, it's great, isn't it, to find out about the stuff happening in regions as well?
I was really lucky as well, because over the subsequent 6-7 months, I've gone out to see a couple of the offices, and I knew the people I was meeting, and it makes such a difference to have that connection.
It really does.
Back from the conference. So, yeah, it was very fortunate.
Excellent. Sarush, fascinating person. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about you and to know what motivated you to work with the Aboriginal Legal Service.
I suppose it's a tough question, but we grew up in a family always committed to social justice. My parents came to Australia as refugees in 1980, and I suppose coming to Australia as a new Australian, it's something that you're really aware of, and it's a question you see all the time, both with new Australians, immigrants, white Australians, Aboriginal people. There's this relationship with Aboriginal Australia that is a tension that Australia still hasn't come to terms with. So I think growing up, we were always really committed to social justice and advocacy. And to be frank, once I finished law school, you'd almost naturally be drawn to doing something like refugee work. And it's what touches my heart very personally. But I got a sense that when I'd do that kind of work, and when I'd be drawn to that kind of thing, it'd be almost too personal. And I thought part of the role of an advocate is to be objective and to be balanced and to kind of be a step apart in order to help your clients best. And I thought, well, what's something that I can do that is equally important in kind of the effect it has in Australia without having that almost too personal touch? And that's kind of what drew me to begin with, and just knowing about the degree of injustices that have happened over the past 140 years. So,
where did your parents come when they came to Australia?
They were... it's an interesting story. Mum and Dad met in Tehran, and because the revolution started, they were actually in favour of the revolution. But Dad was a student from Afghanistan, and so no one was renewing his visa, obviously. And in the meantime, Afghanistan broke out in civil war. And so what happened was they had to apply for humanitarian visas, and they came as refugees. I think they left Iran with $300, and they arrived with no one, nothing else except for that, to Sydney. And they had, my dad had his sister here, and so they all were crowded in a house of eight or nine in this tiny little apartment, and they made their life from there. You know, they worked really hard, and I'm really proud of what they've done, and they're part of the success of this nation. That's how, you know, this country has been built over the last 50 or 60 years to be as wealthy as it is.
So you grew up in Sydney?
Yes, yeah, yes. Sydney boy.
Oh, it's a bit different to Perth, isn't it?
You know, a lot of people here find it too much. But every time I fly back and I land, and quite often you land at sunset or sunrise, and it's beautiful just seeing that harbour.
They do say it's the most beautiful city to fly in over at night. It is pretty spectacular, and it's vibrant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's alive. There's always something happening. And look, you take a picnic with your family or your friends, any spot on the harbour, and you realise you're on one of the special places on earth.
Absolutely. So law was studied in Sydney?
Yeah, I studied law in Sydney. I was always dying to get out overseas, to go visit the world, and so I was really lucky to study overseas in France for 6 months. And then I got more and more adventurous and really interested in, I suppose, the countries of the South and issues of post-colonialism and all that. So I actually was the first student to go and study from my university in Ghana, in Africa. And there I did international law and post-colonial studies as well. And then I finished that in 2005. And then a few years later, I did some study in Mexico as well.
Mm. You did some lecturing as well.
Yeah, that's right. I was lucky to get a scholarship to go study international law as a master's degree in Mexico. And then, you know, as luck would have it, I obviously met a beautiful Mexican girl as well. And so that was another reason to go. And so that's kind of what I did. I ended up working, doing some teaching at the National University in Mexico after my master's degree finished.
Fantastic. When you've been travelling around like this, Sarush, do you see that there are similarities on an international level between Indigenous peoples of all countries?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I did my master's degree looking at the Indigenous peoples in Mexico, and the same struggles are there. People have, Indigenous people have suffered the effects of colonization all over the world, and yet you see the same kind of strengths. You know, it's very easy to kind of talk about all the suffering and all the hardship, but it's the resilience that's carried through. And some of the funny things, like all throughout Australia I go, there's one thing I know about all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders: everyone loves to have a yarn, and people are gifted storytellers. That's something that's very unique to Indigenous cultures globally, I think. When you go to Mexico and you sit down with Mayans or Aztec people and all of that, you quite quickly start to realise that they have this gift to tell a story. And it's something that I think is really rich in cultures that have a really strong oral tradition and might have been lost to some extent in European cultures. So you'll sit down with people and they'll tell you a story and you'll be hooked from the first moment. You'll just be laughing with them, and there's an irreverence in it as well that's quite poignant.
I always find, you know, I feel very blessed as well to find myself in those situations where you do actually get an insight into someone else that maybe the next person isn't going to get, and it's enriching, isn't it?
Absolutely. I always take it back to listening to my dad's stories when I was a kid. So my dad's family, they were orphaned really young, and they have this irreverence of life almost, and they'll sit down and, you know, I remember being a kid and kind of having my, you know, resting my chin on my hands and just looking at my dad and listening to his stories in Afghanistan and what life was like then. And yeah, so I think that thirst to meet people from different places and hear what their stories are started at a young age, and yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
I imagine your family were pretty proud to have a lawyer in the family, especially after the struggles they'd faced and coming out here. They must be pretty proud.
Look, I think what happens with a lot of immigrants is they come to this country and they want to put down roots. And, you know, my parents worked as cleaners for you know, probably around 10 or 11 years just to kind of lay down roots, to get a house and make their best to make a go of this life in this country. But by the same token, we had very strict parents, and education was the most important thing for them when we were growing up. So they were proud, but they also expected it. So it's almost like this dual-edged sword. I'm sure my parents are quite proud of our achievements as kids. But I think they always thought, we'll make these sacrifices in order for you guys to achieve the things that we couldn't.
Mm. Once you became a lawyer, you headed up north to Cape York. Tell us about your work up there.
Yeah, Cape York is one of the special parts of this country. I still feel really connected to that place. The land has a really interesting and very beautiful spirit. I did some work for kind of a family violence legal service up there, and what we'd do is we'd follow the magistrates when they'd go to circuit courts. Now, I'm not sure if all the listeners know how Cape York is, but essentially Cairns is the largest big city. And then after Cairns, the last town is Cooktown, and then after that, it's just unsealed roads all the way to the tip. It's a magical place because that's where the oldest tropical rainforest is in the world, the Daintree. I think it's over 200 million years old, or something like that.
Wow.
And the variance of the land is incredible. As you fly up, you see all these wild rivers that change. They start to flood during the wet season. And then on the other side of the Cape is much more kind of sparse and a little bit more arid. And the people, the number of different Aboriginal cultures, and over the years, Torres Strait Islanders have come down through the Cape as well. So there's a lot of mixture of cultures. Now, we'd go there and we'd do the circuit court work. So we'd fly out to different communities. I represented communities up as far as Weipa and Bamaga on the coast. And inland, we'd go to places like Cowan and Cowanyama. And we'd do work in terms of civil law, family violence, working with victims of sexual assault, and, you know, really intense work. But beautiful communities all the same.
Mm. I'm talking with Sarush Razi. Sarush is a senior solicitor with the Aboriginal Legal Service Civil and Human Rights Unit. We're going to have a bit of music, have a break, and come back and talk about some recent workshops that Sarush was involved in the north of our state, up in Wyndham and Kununurra last week. And we're going to tell you about that and some more workshops that are coming up in the future. So stay tuned. This is Law Matters on Noongar Radio. And good to have your company on the Law Matters program. If you've just joined us, we're having a yarn this week with Sarush Razi, Senior Solicitor with the Aboriginal Legal Service in Perth, our Civil and Human Rights Unit. And a lot of people in Perth are getting to meet Sarush, but the great news is that some of our mob up in Kununurra and Wyndham also got to meet Sarush, and Betty Campbell, our Community Legal Education Officer, because they headed up there to the north of our state and presented some community legal education and legal workshops, which is wonderful, isn't it, Sarush, to be able to get out to the community and have a yarn with people and let people know about the law and services that we provide and racial discrimination and all that. Hey, how'd you enjoy the trip last week?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I think it's really important just for people to know that we do have a civil and human rights practice. And I think when you get to remote areas, you start to realise the amount of issues that people face in remote areas. So getting out there, obviously going out to the Kimberley is you know, amazing for anyone, just looking at that country and the colours of the oranges and yellows and all of that. But beyond that, I suppose getting out to smaller places where people don't necessarily know what is civil law. You know, people think of the law in remote places and they might just see it as criminal law, and they don't think, well, you know, someone sold me a dodgy car, I have rights here. And so it's really important for us to have a presence, to go out, to tell people what their rights are, to tell people that, you know, racial discrimination is not okay, to tell people that this is how you go about making a claim, to inform people more than anything.
And unfortunately, you know, it's a lot of our mob in regional areas that fall victim to scammers, signing up to contracts and paying hundreds of dollars or just, you know, targeted and being ripped off, eh?
Exactly right. That's one thing I'm really glad you raised. We discovered that there were people there who were victims of telecommunication scams.
Yep.
So stuff that's been in the news in the last 3 months, companies that have been fined and have been accused of taking money from people because of these shonky contracts, essentially. A client had received a mobile phone and it was on a network that didn't even have range in Wyndham. Now, what can this person do? And at the same time, this client was billed multiple times for something that the client hadn't even used.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to get the word out there and for us to now link in. It's so important to link in with other stakeholders. So we'll try and link in with ICANN, the Indigenous Consumer Action Network, and we'll try and link in with the Department of Commerce and the ACCC as well, just to see who knows what and if the word is getting out to remote areas. And if not, then we'll go out again and we'll promote the fact that people have rights.
So tell us about the workshops. What did you cover? And I mean, you know, you put an open invite out to anyone in the community who wanted to come along, ask questions about the law and talking about specific topics. What were some of the most welcomed topics that you talked about that were relevant to people in those communities?
Look, Jodie, to begin with, there were two aspects to it. We actually had a research project we were assisting on with James Cook University, and they're out looking at what the civil law needs are for people in Indigenous Australia. Now, we saw that as the perfect opportunity to go out and to see from ALS's perspective how we can help people in remote communities if there is civil law work that we need to kind of be aware of and take on new clients. So the issues that we raised more than anything, because it's so important as part of what our mission is looking at racial discrimination. Now, to some extent, it's easier for someone to be aware of these issues in a big city because there are so many services available. And to some extent, unfortunately, what happens sometimes in remote Australia is there's almost a blind eye turned to something like racism. So we went and we spoke about what people's rights were in terms of racial discrimination, how people would make a complaint. And half of it's not even just speaking to potential clients, but the other half of it's speaking to service providers themselves, because that's our way of relationship building. And people saying, oh, I've run into a client. A nurse will run into someone, will come and see a nurse and talk about someone not letting him into a department store, for example. And then the nurse, light will flash in the nurse's mind. And the nurse will be, oh, I know someone who's come out and spoken to us about that. I'll email this person. Or even it might be the fact that I'll ask them to come out and give us some training on what people's rights are when they buy a car, what people's rights are when they feel like they've been scammed. So lots of different issues for consumers, victims of violent crimes, racial discrimination, and people don't realise sometimes that we actually assist when there's an inquest or when there'll be a coronial inquest.
Okay. How important do you think it was getting out to the communities and talking with people?
Essential. I think it's really essential. One of the sad realities is that I think WA is the second largest administrative region in the world. Perhaps I think there's one larger in Russia. What that means is we've got Perth as this large hub, but unfortunately there aren't enough services that service the regions and the remote communities. And I know that's really important to Dennis, who's the CEO of our organisation, and it's really important to Paul as well, who's the head of our unit. And so we've been trying to come up with creative ways to get the word out that we service the whole of the state, and for people to be aware that this is what ALS does. It's part of its chief mission. And every time we represent someone on a racial discrimination complaint, for example, we're representing the state and we're representing Aboriginal Australia in effecting justice. And that's the core of what the ALS's mission is.
Okay. Some more workshops are planned, aren't they?
Definitely. We're going to get out in August to go to Junjunjara and Kalgoorlie. And so people, if you can get the word out, anyone that's listening, we'll be out there in the last week. And if anyone's interested in any particular issues, feel free to contact, I suppose, Jodie or contact the ALS and let us know what issues are important to you, and we'll come out and do workshops on those issues.
Where's Junjunjara?
Junjunjara is in real remote Australia.
Yes.
It's a kind of 12 hours drive away from Cal.
Yes.
And I believe it's kind of close to the borders between South Australia, Northern Territory and WA. way.
Whoa.
So, and that's important. People, yeah, they need a voice too. So we're going out to see what people's needs are there.
Fantastic. And I guess, you know, things like driving is probably a big issue in more of our remote areas, or, you know, getting a license back if you've lost it, or all that sort of stuff as well, hey?
Absolutely. Talking a little bit from my experience in Queensland, you had people who, just because they were in such a remote area, they hadn't even had a birth certificate issued for them. Now, how does that... This poor fellow I represented in Far North Queensland, he goes to me, I need a driving licence. And I said, well, I need some ID. And I'm like, where's your birth certificate? Don't have one. Mm. Now, how do these people have their needs met? So, absolutely, you've got plenty of driving offences that just take place because of administrative unfairness, because there's not a centre that's close enough, a transport centre close enough for them to get their licences. So, absolutely, if people have issues with driving licenses, please feel free to contact us, ask us for training. We'll do our best to represent you.
Okay. Well, look, that's great news that we are heading out to Country WA and doing some of those workshops. And good that you're open to suggestions from community members or organisations as well. So give out our contact details. If you're wanting to find out anything more about the Civil and Human Rights Unit and how we can assist, you can call our office, free call from anywhere in Western Australia, 1800 019 900, 1800 019 900. We've also got a whole lot of info on our website. Our pamphlets are up there, our submissions, our media work, newsletters, a whole lot of info. So check that out at www.als.org.au. And don't forget, we've also got a workshop in Perth happening next week on the 26th, and that's an introduction to the Aboriginal Legal Service. So come along into the ALS if you're in Perth and check it out. A whole lot of our staff are going to be talking about our role. And I think, Sarush, you hit the nail on the head when you said that a lot of people's perceptions are that ALS just offers support in criminal matters. It's much more than that. It's human rights, it's civil, it's family law, it's community legal education, it's advocacy. And it's important that, you know, we have been going for nearly 40 years and it's evolved so much over the years that now we're sort of delivering the services where we can that are of most relevance to our people, hey?
Absolutely. And people... It's important for, I think, the Aboriginal community in Western Australia to know that we are the first port of call. It keeps us aware of all the issues that take place in the state, and it's important for us to always voice that we are a service that's really broad. We do human rights issues, we do civil rights issues, we do civil law, we do family law, so we're a very broad practice.
Okay. So, Ruth, we're just about out of time. So thank you for coming across to the studios today in Beaufort Street, Perth, and joining us on the Law Matters program, and I'm sure we'll be having another yarn with you before too long.
Perfect. Thanks for inviting me.
Sarush Razi, Senior Solicitor with the Civil and Human Rights Unit at the Aboriginal Legal Service in Perth. A few more minutes to go on our program today, and I did want to let you know that it's a big time around the country for the National Congress of Australia's First Peoples. Here's some dates for you. The Congress co-chair elections, voting is between the 21st of June, Friday, and finishing on Friday the 5th of July, just before NAIDOC week. And congratulations to the successful nominees running to lead Congress for the next 2 years. 3 male and 5 female Congress members have nominated to run for co-chair, and they are, in ballot order, the males, Sam Jeffries, Jerry Moore and Les Mauser, and the females in ballot order, Elise Wall, Kirsty Parker, Melissa George, Adele Cox and Jodie Bruin. All of the candidates' nomination statements are on the Congress website at nationalcongress.com.au, and they've also been sent to the members by email and mail. The CEO of the Congress, Lyndon Coombs, says that there's a diverse lineup of experience and skills for members to choose from, and says that he is expecting a strong field of candidates and has not been disappointed so far. The 8 Aboriginal candidates have a broad and impressive range of achievements and ideas for the future of Congress, and Congress has appointed the Australian Electoral Company to independently run the elections. Only Congress members can vote, and members will vote separately for male and female co-positions. And members can vote either online or by mail, and the election company will be sending the voting information to all members. So if you have any questions, about voting, go to the elections company. Their help desk number is 1-800-224-420, 1-800-224-420, and the voting period goes for 2 weeks, starting Friday the 21st of June and finishing on Friday the 5th of July. And the results are going to be announced and published in the annual National Congress meeting in Cairns in July. Big time coming up for us, NAIDOC Week, a few weeks away. Perth is the host city this year. It's going to be absolutely spectacular. So looking forward to that and looking forward to joining you again on our Law Matters program in 2 weeks' time.